These are very strange days. Blank days filled with feelings of anticipation. Sometimes I think of bigger things, or rather, I feel something of an elusive nature. The feeling is hard to define. Today is October 10th, and at 8:45 a.m., it looks like another fine day. A slight veil of morning mist descends while the sun is rising. I see the bustling of tardy souls rushing to work, wearing heavy coats against the chill morning air. A mother guides her child by the hand. A woman lingers by the florist's, while her aging husband crosses the street to buy fresh buns from the bakery. It all looks very realistic, very simple, and very pretty. Amidst it all, my attention is drawn to the pipe suspended above the street, vanishing in both directions. To be frank, most of the time I look at the pipe. I look at its shiny silver armor, glimmering in the morning sun, producing a spectrum of miraculous reflections. Its skin is so beautiful and smooth that it captivates my gaze. I picture a colossal serpent, petrified before a deadly attack. Speculations abound about its puzzling presence. Perhaps no one really knows what this pipe is used for, or what's actually happening inside. One theory suggests that it connects a small remote lake to the river that divides the city. It has been said that it forms part of a new policy towards natural resources, that the pipe is being used to clean the lake of chemical contamination, that every now and then it sucks in a dozen or so cubic meters of dirty water and transports it to the river. According to this theory, in 10 or 15 years, the lake will be crystal clear and will be turned into a watering place. There will be drinkable, fresh out of the lakes, tap water in every block of flats in the area, and that colorful little birds will come to the newly built fountains on every corner. This conjecture comes from my friend who runs a small convenience store. The store is situated just next to my hotel, and it mostly sells beer to an almost never-changing group of retired men. Once in a while, a member or two die, usually of natural causes, and then the group gets smaller until the deceased are replenished by new members. As you may imagine, the men talk about all sorts of things, including the pipe. They came up with a second theory that is the exact opposite of the first theory, or if you prefer, a negation of the thirst theory. According to them, the pipe is neither connected to the river nor the lake, and it does not serve to clean anything. That's about as far as they got with their theory. In the discourse of the local retirees, I discern a pattern of negation, their theories oscillating between affirmation and denial with a curious precision. Their language reflects a binary mode of thought, as stark and uncompromising as the steel of the pipe itself. A straightforward reasoning of yes or no, plus or minus. Despite often sitting in silence, I am intrigued that the men always seem to agree upon one single answer, arriving at a consensus, eradicating all forms of doubt. Whenever a new customer would enter the store and happen to mention the pipe, with locked eyes, the men would unwaveringly deliver their unanimous opinion. Their eyes, as cold and empty as the refrigerator buzzing gently in the corner, suggest the men might serve as unwitting guardians of a hidden truth. Amidst their speculations, I cannot shake the sense that something more profound is at play. I began to wonder whether the men were a mere microcosm of the pipe. whether it too was exchanging information, serving a clandestine network of undercover groups. Or who knows, maybe I'm just overthinking, and there is nothing peculiar about it. However, I'm aware that I'm not the only one in this hotel who observes the pipe and contemplates its meaning. The other day, during a business meeting, I encountered a woman. Although we didn't exchange words, I could see in her eyes that she knew that I knew. Throughout the meeting, she remained silent, appearing distant. Then, something peculiar occurred. Just as the meeting was about to conclude, she spoke, responding to a client's inquiry. And I realized that I am very familiar with her voice, a voice that was smooth and warm, yet artificial and mechanical. The same voice I have been hearing for weeks or even months, emanating from two places in my hotel room, behind a toilet reservoir, located very high up, almost by the ceiling, and from the control panel of the TV screen. In the beginning, the voice was so quiet, I mistook it for white noise. Now I know it's her. I've heard rumors suggesting the voice may be part of a larger network of machines and organisms infiltrating the city's walls like parasites, implanting advertisements into people's thoughts and dreams. Some claim at its core, a brain resides within the pipe. Be that organic or artificial. Could it be that I've stared into the eyes of the pipe, cloaked in the guise of that businesswoman? Conflicting theories abound. The truth seems elusive, concealed behind nearly 2 inches of the finest stainless steel and running away in both directions. I try not to dwell on it excessively, although I find myself often these days sitting by the window of my hotel room, looking at the street out there below me.